Hi, my name is Jody Goldberg. I work for Novell on Open Office Calc, the spreadsheet. I've been really lucky for the past several years to be working on free software, starting with GNOME and Gnomeric, and moving on now onto.
There's a problem with the microphone.
Sorry about that for those of you listening remotely, a small microphone problem there. So, let's see, I don't know where to cut out. So, I'm working on free software for a whole lot of years now. I got lucky, started off working on GNOME and Gnomeric, and have recently started working with Novell on OpenOffice. And my big complaint is interoperability. So compatibility and interoperability for spreadsheets is a massive problem. We could probably sit and talk about our, I think I'm cutting out again.
Just try to speak a little bit up the microphone.
I think I'll just talk loud and we'll ignore the microphone for now. We could sit and argue for hours about various arcana for at least, anyone who's a spreadsheet aficionado or geek, as you, depends on how you want to look at it. So, in the interest of getting us all out of here before tomorrow, I'm going to cut the talk short and focused on just one teeny tiny piece of compatibility. And the only bit I'm really interested in for today is calculation. The ability to reproduce the calculations from one instance or one application in another one. Be that one version of OpenOffice to another version of OpenOffice, or OpenOffice to Excel and back, however you want to slice and dice it. But the ability to get the same sets of numbers whenever possible. Now, unfortunately, as much work that we've all done trying to get that mythical aim, it's a miserable failure. Every single spreadsheet gets completely different results. Even within various trees, OpenOffice versus StarOffice and OOBuild versus StarOffice, it's very, very easy for slight discrepancies to slide in that produce really significant differences at the end of the day. So if we can't get the same results, what's interesting is still being able to at least warn a user that you may have different results here, to give them nice precise detail of where something may be broken so they can at least look it up. I'm going to ignore all the other tidbits that we have to deal with in spreadsheets, visual fidelity, the fact that we don't implement fill patterns in cells the way Excel does. Well, it doesn't matter anymore because Excel's deprecating them. The fact that we don't have a ribbon the way Office 12 will have, or that we do pivot tables differently, or auto formats differently. Let's ignore all of that for the time being and focus just on the calculation. Why is compatibility interesting? Install one version of the application on your desktop or wherever you need it, and don't change the stupid thing. Well, the problem is that there's a huge install base of other spreadsheets, one specifically, and it's where the majority of people's data is. In an ideal world, we find people at the age of 12 before they ever produce a spreadsheet, and they can then produce all their new work going forward only in our nice new spreadsheet, and we wouldn't have to worry about many of the compatibility issues. Unfortunately, even there, they're going to end up interacting with older colleagues who have spreadsheets in the other formats, and stuff will break. The other issue that comes into it is that people are starting to look at error rates in spreadsheets now, where but after things like the Enron fiasco and others that have come up, regulators are getting involved, and they're realizing that the error rates in spreadsheets are horrific. Ray Panko, a researcher out in University of Hawaii, has realized that something like 5% of all cells in spreadsheets, and this is constant across every type of spreadsheet he's managed to test, are wrong. And by wrong, he means anything that produces a value that's at least 10% off. Less than that, he'll ignore it. Now, if you think of your average spreadsheet, that's a hell of a lot of mistakes. He then followed it up with, what happens if the cell in the spreadsheet is a bit complicated, or if the user interface or anything about the interface is different? And the result was that the error rate tripled. So suddenly 15% of the cells in your spreadsheet are wrong if you used to be an Excel user and you're trying to transition to OpenOffice for those first few weeks. That is not a good thing. So people are thinking about it, but why would they bother paying money for it? Why are we wasting our you know, our scarce resources worrying about this. We can keep fixing OpenOffice. Why think about compatibility at all? Well, the first thing is that regulators, as I said, are getting involved. Like, especially a couple years ago, the Standard Price Waterhouse regulatory guidelines came out in which they decree that you should start treating spreadsheets not just as chunks of data, but as actual software applications. And they're not joking. Like, these, there are people out there that are using them not as laundry lists, not as a quick place to add up some numbers before they make groceries. There are organizations that are using these as end-user software development platforms.
Isn't that scary?
Very, very scary, because these are people that have no software development training, people who are writing programs with no version control, no auditing, no any sort of review of what's in there. There's a large magic box that calculates, let's see, according to one of the senior regulators of the London stock market, by his estimates, 100% of the deals that take place in the financial district travel through Excel at some point in their life cycle. Now, considering the error rates that we've just seen, it's not a surprise that regulators are now getting involved. So in the United States, after Enron, the Sarbanes-Oxley requirements have started to come into play, where it basically says, if you don't know what's going on with the finances in your company, including spreadsheets, according to sections 302 and 404, I think, the senior people in the company can go to jail. So suddenly, senior individuals start taking this very seriously. In the pharmaceutical industry, they also have similar sorts of requirements where, for obvious reasons, if you screw things up, people die. And hence, they have all sorts of regulatory requirements around spreadsheets being used there. So let's try and break things up a little bit into more manageable chunks around the calculation. So I'll do the easy bits first. Simple stuff like, what are the bounds of the table that you're using? OpenOffice 1 had 32,000 rows, Office 2, 64K, and Microsoft Office 12 is bumping things to 1 million. There have been test builds of OO with 2 million. What does it mean to change the size of your grid? I forgot the most basic thing of, what are you using as a floating point representation in your spreadsheet? You'd be surprised that there are all sorts of differences that can creep in. I'll get to those in a minute. I better pick up speed. There's also all sorts of versioning requirements around the application itself and third-party analytics that are being embedded in the spreadsheet such that you use them to calculate things and then look at the results. And those are just the easy bits. The harder bits I'll get to at the end. So first, floating point stuff. Remember, my requirement was not that we actually be able to specify exactly the number of bits of precision in the Mantissa versus exactly the IEEE layout of the double versus a single versus a quad. All we really need to know is exactly the name of the format that's used. The key use case that we're looking for here is, let's say someone's in the financial markets and they price up a deal, it's in their spreadsheet, and then they have to send it off to a regulator because the regulator wants to know exactly how they're calculating this, or they can get rather pissed off and start fining people or decreasing the amount of capital that they have to work with. Well, when the regulator fires that thing up, even if he's using exactly the same application and the same version of the application, if he's running on a different architecture, like an Intel versus an AMD, Excel has known bugs right now where between those two, it will get slightly different results in some instances. And once you get a different result in one case, it cascades up. I recently had a bug in GNU Merak where people were getting errors in their floating point because there are two modes of floating point operation under ARM processors. And the importer was utilizing one, and this port was using a different version, and the numbers were just coming out strangely in certain cases. But again, it's not an instance where we have to specify what it's being used in an analytical sense, that we can somehow compare, this has one more bit of precision than that, so we better recalculate these three things. All we're looking for is the ability to warn the user, the file that you've just read was calculated with a certain set of parameters, characteristics. How do you, what you're loading it now has something different. You're going to get different results. Grid size. This is something where it looks like it's really trivial. You're making it bigger, so what? Watch your memory management and you should be okay. Except that there's all sorts of subtle spreadsheet-specific sorts of things that come into play. I'll start with the more obscure one first. In a named expression or a named range, you can actually construct a relative reference, which means that, let's say you go into the cell B1 and you make a reference to cell A1. Note, there's no dollars there, so it's a relative reference. What that's really saying is, anytime you use this name, give me the value of the cell to my right, which is a pretty useful thing to do. Lots of people have it. Let's go the other way. The cell to my left. Well, what happens when you start to evaluate that cell in the leftmost column? What's to the left of A1? Well, convention is you wrap around to the other side of the grid, change the number of columns, and suddenly you've got entirely different references. You're going to pull out the value from a different cell, something that's probably empty when you pull it in, whereas you were expecting it something at your margin. The next difference is when you make references to full rows or full columns, if you change the size of the grid, what the reference is referencing is now bigger. So in Excel XP, and if you do count blank in column B, that's Excel has a rather unique reference format. You have to say B colon B. You can't just say B. But if you do that in an empty column, you'll get 64K, I should say. You do that in Office 12, and you're going to get 1,000,000. Totally different results from just increasing the size of the grid. The last one is always a fun one, where column names are alphabetic. So row column 1,000 is row all. 8509 is log, so log 2 is a perfectly valid address if you have 10,000 columns, which is not a big leap. And if you want to get really, really obscure and you start getting up into the 300,000 column range, which, like Quattro Pro, is 1,000,000 by 1,000,000 hypothetically, then you've got column true. Now, thankfully for OpenOffice, this is not really an issue. A third of that is that we were pretty smart, or at least the ODF designers were smart, and they put nice demarcations around cell references so you can know what's a name and what's a cell reference. Of course, that doesn't help you in the user interface when somebody types one of these things in and you have to disambiguate there, but ignore the user interface, assume it's solvable. Unfortunately, the other reasons that it's not doesn't impact us yet is that we don't actually implement any things that would screw us up on, so we don't have full column refs yet. So I was just talking to Ike about getting those in. And we also don't really support literal Booleans yet, so we don't have to worry about column true. Versioning. So even assuming that we know all those nice bits of information, you then run into problems with knowing exactly what the application is that you're using. Most of the different file formats have some sort of a tag in them, version number 23. Some of them even throw in a little more information, like this is Mac Excel versus Windows Excel. Sometimes we get strings for it, but it's enough to give you some rough ideas on it. Unfortunately, that works only within one implementation. There's no central registry of all spreadsheet versions of all implementations that's ever going to exist, even in anyone's wildest imagination. No one's ever, I know that these three things changed between 203 and 204, but that's never going to get put in a list somewhere where Excel's going to be able to look it up in their ODF importer. And the other aspect of the versioning that's kind of subtle, but one of the Microsoft guys pointed out, was that it becomes a little bit dangerous to put too much versioning information into the file format. From our perspective as implementers, it's great. I want to know that this is version 23, build 97, of OpenOffice branch such and such. The problem is that if you put that in a file format and then put that file in a public place, somebody can look at the file, say, I know exactly what version he's running, and it doesn't have the 6 security patches that have come out in the last 6 months. And, here's his email address. That's very helpful. Send them an exploit. So there's a delicate balance to be had. Another area where versioning is not terribly well handled right now is a very common idiom in spreadsheet usage, where people don't actually trust the spreadsheet. They just assume that it may conceivably have the ability to add, but beyond that, all complex functions are just to be ignored, and they have their own libraries of hundreds of millions of lines of code doing risk management or genetics manipulations off in the background. And they do their calculation, dump it into the spreadsheet, and use that just for the final manipulations and for display. The problem is that once you save the file, and you look at this from a file format perspective, you don't know what generated that. You have a file that was generated by some version of somebody's added, but who knows what? And people, especially people on the data center side, who need to start auditing things going forward, worry, because they can't then do the matchups.
Well, on the other hand, your functions, as long as OpenOffice.org does not really mathematically, unambiguously document those complex functions, you're not going to touch them. From a mathematician's perspective or statistician's perspective, I know that I'm not.
That's an issue, and that contributes to why people are writing their own add-in where they do all of their own calculations. And part of it is just a side effect of, even if we did document it really, really well, it would never be rigorously enough to be truly mathematically precise until somebody actually went in and looked at code. But all the people come from Excel land, it's a much simpler proposition. Even if Excel did document it, they can't see the code. They're screwed. They're going to do things their own way, because Excel can't handle real market conditions for financials or statistical analysis. It's not their interest. But in the file format, no one knows what version of that plugin was used. So you've got numbers coming from somewhere that have no versioning. So now that I've talked about these are the easy problems. So from here I'll just go over some quick additions that we can make to ODF, and actually to XLS also, because we need to be able to handle all the common formats. So I'll try and give some solutions to the easy problems. So the first thing to remember is what our goal here was, in that we don't actually need to actually solve the problems. We just need to give people enough information so that if we can't be compatible, we'll know where we were incompatible. The big thing we want to avoid is the magic Excel warning that comes up. Your spreadsheet was calculated with an older version. Things may have changed, should we recalculate? Well, other than scaring the crap out of every OpenOffice user that sends things back, that tells us the square root is zero. Now, the poor user is left with no information as to what may have changed, where it may have changed, and what they need to be looking at. So we need to give people enough information that they can at least know where to look. But it's important that we try and keep the number of false positives to a minimum, otherwise you just scare them for no reason. So, what can we do to give ourselves these tools? The first thing we need to do is using the existing file formats. We can go and adapt the existing tags where possible. So most of the file formats have some set of versioning flags there, so use them as much as possible. But no format supplies a full set of details, so let's add just a little bit. Some of these extensions, of course, to get into ODF or an Office format, Office Open, it's a tongue twister of a name, and actually they screw it up a lot. You frequently see them doing Open Office, and they're going, oh, the Office, oh. But we have to keep these changes to a minimum, because obviously to get these things through standards bodies is non-trivial. So I'll start with the simple bits, ODF and XLSX, aka Spreadsheet ML. They're both XML-based, and that means that third-party tools are likely to be actually looking at the results, which means that we do have to put as much as we can into there, because a lot of people are suddenly going to be able to look at the XML and do stuff with it, which means that those values are now of interest. They're not just going to be reloading it back into some application that has to be Excel. It's something else now. So it's fairly easy to extend. It's XML. Throw in a new element, and I'm proposing a couple of minor additions. Nothing major. One is a name for what precision the architecture was used. It's not a huge amount to request. Some detail on what the maximum grid size that was used to generate this file was, and some versioning information for the bounds. Everything else, we had application versions. We should be okay. If the details aren't there, well, we already know from the file version specification what the initial version was, so we can kind of fall back to sort of a known baselines of Well, you know, if it's OpenOffice 2.03, we know that it must have this sort of a grid size, and we didn't support builds with quad floats. So it must be a double, and we can kind of reverse engineer bits of it for ourselves. Getting extensions into the new MS Office Open XML stuff is trickier in that they're about to freeze for standards in 2 weeks or so. But they have a nice extension mechanism, and we can easily start putting out just the chunk of additional information that we want, and they will promise to round-trip it. We may not get the information from them that we want, but it will at least, if you load it into Excel and save it back out, it will round-trip the information that we're going to want. Now, that was the simpler one. We also have to go and deal with some of the old binary formats. Because a very standard use case is you're using OpenOffice, but you're still saving to XLS so that you can send the files to all your non-OpenOffice colleagues still. So you're not using ODF yet. You're still loading things that were created by OpenOffice, but saving to the old format. Well, here we have to play things a little looser. First of all, we do the warnings if things are out of bounds on the export. So the file format itself hard codes what the bounds have to be, so we can ignore that and just catch it when we're generating things. But thankfully, there are very few tools out there that are going to be reading the content out of the XLS file. And as such, we don't have to put quite as much information in there. So I'm going to propose that we do something very simple, which is add some new records to the XLS file format. Excel won't read them, it won't round trip them, but we can read them, and we'll let us know, and presumably any other open source spreadsheet that wants to implement it, it can know, we'll be able to know that we were the ones that were generating this, not Excel. And that becomes fairly useful in the next step when we start looking at functional differences. So, it's a little strange to start talking about, making additions to Microsoft's proprietary formats, but their format supports it, so there's nothing that says we can't add our own records. They were happy to do it to us. It's time we turn the tables.
Excuse me, is it already done, or is it...
I have a patch that implements it. I have not sent it to IKEA or Daniel yet to say, I've just done something filled with crack. Please say okay.
What would prevent Microsoft from just denying loading or executing any macros or anything inside it? Once it knows, it's OOO! Let's sabotage them.
They could, if they were going to be vindictive, they could indeed do that. But they seem more interested in ignoring the problem than being malicious about it.
They're still in denial.
Their file format, by definition, was actually stolen from the old Lotus 1-2-3 file format, at least in its structure. And the nature of it is that if there's a record in there that you don't recognize, ignore it.
Once, however, you change an Excel file that was created with OpenOffice with Excel and save it again, then
it's lost.
So the tag is lost. It's not added, and then you don't know whether there was an Excel there that messed with it, and still its tag is made by OOO.
Yeah, once Excel saves it, we lose it. There's no way we can modify, unless we start distributing some macro packages for Excel that will catch the flag and do something, but frankly, that just doesn't seem worth the effort, given that they're deprecating the format anyway. But all we're looking for here is the ability to differentiate between something that was generated in Excel and then loaded into OpenOffice, versus something generated by OpenOffice and then saved in the Excel format. Because obviously the two applications do things differently, and when you're pulling something in the Excel import filter, if you know that OpenOffice generated it, then you don't have to make some of the fixes, or at least you can start conditionalizing some of the fixes so that if people are doing one thing in OpenOffice, you don't screw them up by trying to remap something that didn't need remapping. You only need to do fixes if it's Excel to OpenOffice, not OpenOffice saved in Excel and reloaded. So let's get onto the harder bits now. And before we can do that, let's talk a little bit about compatibility and what it really, really means. So we've got backwards compatibility, which is something that's obviously near and dear to the hearts of Star Office engineers, which, as far as I can tell, means that you can never change an existing behavior, because someone somewhere may be depending on it, and you're stuck with it. Even if the behavior is broken or incompatible with other things, it's there. There have been people using it for a decade. We're screwed. Suck it up. Another type of compatibility is obviously forward compatibility, which says, well, make sure that old applications can load new files and do reasonable things with them. In an ideal world, can load the new files, save them back out with the things that they didn't know how to handle, and still have the information there for newer versions of the application to use. Which starts getting a little trickier. And then you get to sideways, which is what happens when you start moving between applications and different implementations of the applications. And there, I think the best that we can do is at least provide enough information that we can degrade gracefully. So if we have a different implementation of, say, the address function, if we can at least know that, okay, Excel has one version, OpenOffice has a different version, they're not compatible, we can at least give people warning to say, okay, we know that these are different, and flag it in the file itself. So dealing with incompatibilities at the function level. Just simple stuff, you know. The mistakes got made years and years ago. You know, in Excel, the log function does one thing. In OpenOffice, it does something else. Just different sets of arguments, slightly different arrangements. The problem is, of course, that it's one of those common functions that people like to type. And Excel users arrive and they go, you know, log 6, and get an error. And they start getting worried at that point. It gets a little bit more complicated as you start breaking functions more thoroughly, where you start getting differences in function signatures. OpenOffice has 4 arguments to some functions. Excel has 5. And even, let's ignore Excel for a moment. Stick with just within OpenOffice. People want to extend functions. They want to add functionality. And we're not dealing with just bug fixing and patching stuff. The whole fun of this is that we can fix the spreadsheets, add new functionality, have it do stuff. And unfortunately, to do that, you're left with either creating a new function, which then isn't forwards compatible because the old file format doesn't know how to load it or know what to do with it, even if it's just an extension of an existing one, or the parsing is just going to fail completely. So we don't really have a nice, clean way of handling it yet. And this starts to come into play when, even if you start doing bug fixes, where maybe somebody was depending on the old bug. Something came up recently where Excel tries to convert strings into numbers when it can. Well, OpenOffice does not try to convert strings into numbers, and in OOBuild we said, okay, you know, let's try and be compatible. So we implemented a hook, and as long as you're working within one locale, you know, you're welcome to try and shoot yourself in the foot if that's really what you want. Except that when the string match failed, so someone said, you know, double quote, apple, double quote, plus 3. Well, that should generate an error, but not in some cases. As you start feeding it to functions in different ways, it doesn't generate an error. And suddenly somebody sent us a sheet saying, well, you know, this used to work, now I get errors everywhere, what the hell's going on? And it turned out that they were trying to do a conversion on a blank cell, the conversion was failing, and they were getting an error. Whereas in pure OpenOffice, they weren't trying to do the conversion, they were just ignoring it, and it wasn't an error. And making subtle little changes like that can then cascade up. If all you have to do is change one little function result down at the bottom of things, and suddenly your whole workbook ends up doing different things. How am I doing for time? Okay, I better hurry then. Why is this actually a hard problem? Yeah, screw it. Let's take the simple approach to all of this. Anytime you make any changes to a function, give it a new name. We already have a million lines of code in OpenOffice. Another 100, who cares? We can have one copy of every function for every version of that function that ever existed. Can't be much simpler than that, except that breaks something. So backwards compatibility becomes really simple because the old function name is there. You just reuse it. You always get the same behavior because you're actually running the same code. Perfect. And let's ignore the cost of having 17 copies of some function that had a lot of bugs in it. That's something for us to deal with on our own. It doesn't impact the user. Unfortunately, forwards compatibility gets really, really screwed with that. Because if you've just made a small, subtle change, like a bug fix, well, now you've got a new name for the whole function. The old version of the application isn't going to recognize the function. You're not going to parse the formula. You're toast. So you need some sort of a fallback mechanism so the old version can say, oh, this is, it's kind of like the new one, but you better check your results over here. But even then, this should all be really difficult. And it shouldn't be all that difficult because, heck, the new ODF subcommittee on formulas is generating vast swaths of documentation. Every function is being well documented with a nice normative test case. That's my favorite part. Normative test case. So every application that wants to use ODF can load up the test and see, I'm broken on these six things and fix it. Excel, unfortunately, has, Microsoft has declined to offer a normative test suite. They're figuring out if you want to interoperate, they'll tell you what's in there, but it's not up to them to help you. But they are including a rather significant piece of specification. I think it's on the order of 300 or 400 pages at this point of every single function that they offer, error cases, some of the type conversions, what the function is supposed to do, hypothetically, an expression describing how it's calculated, but they're not going to be giving you the code so that you know what's actually going on. This is, anyone who's done any serious numeric coding knows that things get very complicated very fast underneath. And the hypothetical formula itself may only be 10 lines of code, but handling all the edge cases and the corner cases is going to be another 500 lines, and those are the cases that are interesting, unfortunately. But, unfortunately, those are two different standards, and they don't overlap. Plus, this doesn't really help us for moving sideways between applications. Can't we just use the file format as a flag and say, I'm loading an XLS file, so this must be an Excel version of the function, and then just use Excel foo instead of foo? No, it doesn't work like that, because, as I mentioned earlier, what happens if it was OpenOffice that saved the XLS file in the first place? We generated it, we've got our semantics, but we're storing in a different file format. We can't just assume that because it's XLS, it was from Excel. And from there, you start getting into even stranger configurations of round-tripping, where somebody creates it in Excel, sends it to OpenOffice, saves it out to XLS, and reloads it in Excel. You want to try and make sure you get the right flags to know what the mechanisms you were supposed to have been using were. And even strangers when you start going the other way around and having someone actually create it in OpenOffice and then resave it in Excel with the Excel semantics and then try to reload it in OpenOffice. Do you try and remap it now that you don't know that it was originally from OpenOffice? And it's a mess. So what tools do we have available to us to try and decrease this difficulty somewhat? So in ODF, we have the generating application version. And we also have a namespace for each and every instance of an expression. To my mind, that seems like overkill, but okay, we've got it. And we now have the OOC namespace that's been used up till now, and I'm not sure, is it in the code, or is David Wheeler just claiming that it's in the code now? But can we accept formulas that have a namespace of OF colon now?
We currently have the patch that we accept any namespace.
Okay, yes, that neatly avoids having to think about the problem and kind of brings into question why we bother having a namespace at all. Okay, good. On the other side of the fence, the Office Open TC45 folk, they give you a version of the application. Ignore the spelling errors. They give you the platform for Microsoft-centric enumerations unnamed of platform. So, 97, less than 2000 is 0, 2002 is 1. I put in a request to have them converted to strings, but they said no. And they also have a whole plethora of just sort of random flags on things. Let's say, use the win word... use the Excel 3 compatibility variant of this calculation over here. I don't think those do us very much good because we have no idea what the hell they mean, but they're there. So how can we use these things? Well, at a minimum, at least they're both XML. So what I'm proposing is that we add a function map into these file formats, where what gets exported in the expression itself would be some notion of the default name for the formula, function name. So let's say we have three versions of the sum function. Instead of saying, you know, sum version 2 or sum version 3, the expression itself would say sum. But up at the top, there would be a map that said sum is really sum version 3. Not all that difficult to add to things. It's easy to know what versions of things you were using when you go to do the export. And the nice thing about this is that it gives us forwards and backwards compatibility as long as signatures don't change. So at a bare minimum, at least, you know, the old versions of the applications will still see a function name that they recognize, even if it's a newer version. And they can say, oh, you know, this, the version that you were using is not the version that I'm going to offer to you here. You may want to check this. But it's easy to know because we know what cells use this function name, and we can give people that information. Unfortunately, for signature changes, we really are screwed because you'll get parse errors if you've got the wrong set of arguments to things. And for those, I think we're just limited to using either version names or magically flagging the names. So you've got, you know, Excel underscore address versus address as a differentiator, and try not to do things that change the set of arguments. It would be too large a change to allow old applications to handle the new things. Like, we'd really have to go back to the old applications and start adding external hooks, which we can't do anymore, obviously, to do much more than that. So, yeah. I tried to keep things to a reasonable level without going into trying to solve every problem. So I'll try and cut it off there. So just to summarize, what I'd like to do would be some extensions in ODF. They give us a function map to complement the baseline of known functions for a version, and some minor characteristics details within the tree so we can know exactly what was generating it when you're looking at the results in file format. On the XLS side, two small records just to do some add-in versioning and to let us know that it was really OpenOffice that generated the file. None of these are major. My goal here is to try and keep the changes as small as possible to try and give us, you know, the beginnings of what we need. And hopefully we can get them into the various standards and get things done. That's about it. Is anyone still awake? Questions? Rotten fruit. Yes, Ben.
That may be interesting, but is it useful?
In what sense?
To the point of, wouldn't really two separate making it doing, no. Wouldn't it offering a clean slate to finally do things right the way they are, should be, and have new function names for that, and help people make the transition and only support backwards compatibility so that they can hop onto the new train? I'm surely not going to go back to using StarOffice 3.0 and then expect my Excel files or any OpenOffice files that I've produced today to run on that version. I mean, nobody really does that.
Well, but what if it was a StarOffice 3 file that you loaded up and then resaved and then sent back? This is useful in that it helps us on several dimensions. Firstly, forget, you know, StarOffice 3. Let's think about, you know, StarOffice 2.02 versus 2.03. I need this on a day-to-day basis where I want to fix a function. I can't now because it's going to change your behavior and things are going to be. It's not unreasonable for somebody to assume that 2.01 is going to get the same results as 2.03. Well, does that mean that we can't fix any functions until we jump to 3.0? We don't really want to be stuck in the bind quite that tight. So having some sort of compatibility, you know, adjustment ability within the versions are helpful.
I agree.
But now let's go to the separate step of, you know, why do we need to even bother worrying about all these old forms? Bottom line is because 99.999% of current spreadsheets use some other idiom. And, you know, we can say that they're wrong, and some of their decisions were, I'm going to say narcotic-induced and leave it at that. But those were the decisions that they made. And you know, the fact that they don't even know what the decisions were and can't document the decisions because they were made back in the depths of time doesn't change the fact that there's a hell of a lot of people using them. Which means if we want to be able to import those things, and huge amounts of effort have gone into writing all these import filters for various versions of Excel, and it's all for naught, effectively, if we can't calculate the right results. But in order to do that, we've got to be able to have some hooks so that we're not screwing all of our own stuff. We've got to be able to merge these two trees of behavior and keep them in parallel so that stuff will just work for people and let things move back and forth.
Follow-up question to that. Then we are, or we, the royal we, no, any we, we're trying to be more accurate and more caring, which is good, generally speaking, than Microsoft has ever been with their file formats.
Okay.
Jumping from version to version.
Okay. I'm not seeing why that's something.
Isn't that an effort that is really wasted on the average user?
Yeah.
No. No. The fact that Microsoft
doesn't even expect such goodness, and maybe you should.
Then why are we bothering to do
it back at you?
Why are we bothering to write a new spreadsheet? It's $100. For $5 somewhere in the Congo, I'm sure you can buy a bootleg copy of Excel. Why bother writing a whole new one? The goal is that now we can do it right. The whole reason I got started with free software and spreadsheets was because I spent, find a bug in Excel, and I would spend a week calling the tech support people and finding the right layer of tech support to realize that, no, I hadn't forgotten to plug the computer in, and yes, it was a bug. And then they would say, yeah, okay, good, you don't have to pay us for this bug, good.
Or it's on the day pays and the next one.
So the whole point of working on a free software spreadsheet was that we can fix the damn things. But before we can have our carte blanche and go out there and fix things however we'd like, we still got to be able to migrate this vast population of existing user base over. And to do that, the first thing that every single person is going to do who has existing spreadsheets, is they're going to load up their old spreadsheet, they're going to look at it, and they're going to see, does this make sense? And we need to have enough tools that we can make sure that it makes sense without screwing ourselves over completely and having to bow down to the mystical god of Excel compatibility for all time. And I'm trying to give us the tools so that we can do the right thing, but still help the customers. That's why this is fun. To say that we're trying to be, we're going to be a little bit better than Excel. That's setting the bar too low. It's damning by faint praise. It's not hard to be better than Excel in a lot of areas. So let's do it.
We're going to have a few beers tonight. This is going to be a long night.
I don't know if I'm going to survive beers tonight. I fell asleep at 6:15 this morning, so I'm probably going to be finding a mattress soon. Anyone else? Bueller? Anyone? Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah. Well, first I have to chat with Ike and find out whether he thinks I'm on narcotics. And then, I've got the patches available, so it's not impossible. Getting extensions into ODF obviously takes a little bit more time, and there'll be cycles to burn there. But there's a whole pile of extensions that are going to be coming up there anyways with some of the other work that's going on. So. Hopefully we can slide this in with that. And on the Microsoft side, we don't have to tell them about the binary file format changes, because by definition they can ignore them and will. And on the XML side, their format makes certain guarantees about round-tripping XML that's included in a certain way. Now, they know that they can't parse it, they know they don't have to do anything with it, so at a minimum we can put it in there to solve the... If somebody wanted to do something bizarre like saving to Office Open from OpenOffice and using that as their storage medium. I can't imagine why someone would want to do that yet, but conceivably someone will one day. And so we could easily handle that way. And I've made a similar proposal to the Office Open Committee. Unfortunately, it's not going to be able to get in for version 1.0 of their standard, but it's hopefully it'll be considered for version 1.1 at some point. Directly.
So,
I am in contact with the spreadsheet risk management community, of which the regulators are a part. We're certainly not going to regulators and saying, how can we make OpenOffice better for you so that you can encourage your clients to use this. Other people do evangelism, it's not my bag. And it would be a really hard sell at this point, given that we can't calculate the same numbers as are coming out of Excel already, so that kind of sea change isn't going to happen for a long time. But that said, I am talking with the people who are very interested in improving auditability, change tracking, error detection and correction in spreadsheets, and I've got a wish list of features that if I had my druthers I'd be working on and adding that would make the user experience a lot more positive, so they could track down better ways of tracking down likely errors in cells. One of the things that people were dying to have would be really easy to implement, which was look at a formula in a cell, see if it's similar to formulas that are around it. If there's a bunch that are very similar and you've got one that's just a little bit different, that is almost certain to be an error. It's not hard, but it's just a matter of finding the time. And there's a whole bunch. Going to these conferences is very very humbling, as you sit and see these people where, as far as they can tell, spreadsheet and Excel are synonymous. Like, there's no, when you say you're using a spreadsheet, you're obviously using Excel. There's no difference there. And their lives have been made so absolutely miserable that they have these convoluted magic incantations of how they can get Excel to do what they really needed it to do. And if somebody at Microsoft thought that that was a feature that they could sell, it would have been done. But they don't think it's all that important yet, so they didn't spend any money on it. And these guys are happy to, they have whole books on, do this magic sequence of selections and deselections and then searches and replaces, and you can find some of the errors this way. Well, we have the source code, we have the technology, we could easily add the sorts of features these guys want. And if that's the case, every little bit counts. Hopefully, eventually, we can get some of them over the hump and they'll make the jump. Anyone else? All right. Go forth and coffee.